Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Well, today we continue with our series called Awesome Relationships. In it, Pastor Rick Warren will show you how to take your relationships with family, friends, coworkers, and even God from average to awesome. You don't want to miss a second of this relationship building series. Just before we get started, we want to let you know that a very generous friend of the broadcast is offering a $10,000 matching grant for listeners giving a gift to Daily Hope for the very first time. So please go to PastorRick.com right now and give a gift to help Daily Hope share the certain hope of Jesus with people everywhere. That's PastorRick.com, or you can text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part three of a message called Fighting for an Awesome Family.
Number four, fourth thing we learn from our families is we learn what values matter most. What values matter most. And you have to just help your kids know this is important and this is not. Now, would you agree that the world is teaching our kids values that aren't very good? Everybody agree with that one? All around us, the world is teaching our kids values that we don't agree with. The world teaches that all that matters is how you look, that image is everything. Doesn't matter what your character is, it's how you look. The world teaches that the more money you have, the more important you are, the more successful, the more fulfilled you'll be, the more significant your life is. That's not true. The world teaches is that everything is about sex. It's not. It's not. The world teaches that the more you can get people to praise you, the more valuable you are. That's not true. And our kids are learning a lot of values from movies, from video games, from songs, from their friends, from all of culture, all these things that aren't true. It's important to teach our kids the three basic temptations of life. The only good thing you can say about Satan is he's entirely predictable and he doesn't have any new temptations. There are only three temptations. The Bible calls them the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It has to do with how I feel, what I do, and what I get in life. Secularists or philosophy would call them hedonism, materialism, and secularism. But basically, it's sex, salary, and status. It's basically saying life is about three things: getting all the good things you can, possessions, having all of the pleasure you want, regardless of how it hurts other people, passion, and becoming important and having status, that's position. These are the three temptations that Jesus went through, that Moses went through, that Adam went through. I could take you through the whole Bible. And teaching our kids what these are so they can recognize false values, that what matters most in life is sex, what matters most in life is money, and what matters most in life is power, prestige, and popularity. They're just not true. And every single advertising ever created by anybody appeals to one of these three temptations. Every single one, every print ad, broadcast ad, TV ad appeals to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And the product says, you get our product, you'll be sensual, you'll feel good, you just have all kinds of pleasure inside of you. Or if you get our product, you'll be envied. You're number one, we do what's best for you, look out for number one, and I gotta do what's best for me. And it's all about you. Or materialism, you need this product because it'll make you significant. It'll make you important. You know, when my kids were little, I taught them these three values. I said, these are the three values you're gonna be up against, and none of them are true. And we would stand in front of the TV and watch commercials, and I would pay them a nickel for the one who could figure out which value was being promoted by that ad. Lust of flesh, boom. Here's a nickel. Now, I realize that was materialism. But at least they were learning to spot what most kids and even adults accept without question. We teach our kids the values that matter most. And the fifth thing we learn from our families is good habits. good habits. Habits are determine your character. In one of the interviews I did at Blocktober, one little kid said, I said, what did you learn from your family? He said that manners make the man. He said, my dad tells me that all the time. Manners make the man. I thought, whoa, I know CEOs who don't know that. They're mean, they're rude, they're bossy, they're pushy, they're prima donnas. They don't know that manners make the man. I'm going, that little kid knows more than that CEO does about the real issue of character. Now, if one of the marks of an awesome family is that we help each other grow, how do you do that? How do you help mom grow? How do you help dad grow? How do you help brother and sister grow? How do you help your nephews grow and nieces grow? Well, let me give you two ways that help people grow and two ways that don't. This applies in every area of life. Two ways that help people grow. Number one, we grow through example. Through example. Jesus did this in teaching the disciples. John 13, he says, since I have washed your feet, which was a model of humility and service, it's an act of service. Since I have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I've given you an example to follow. Do as I've done to you. We learn best by example. Your kids don't want to hear a sermon. They want to see it. They want to see it in your life. The second way we help people grow is through conversations. Critical conversations. If you're not having conversations with your kids about real issues, they're not growing. We grow through conversations. Unfortunately, most conversations we have with kids have to do with, we need to get here by this time and get back to here by this time. And conversations are about schedule, eating, or homework. And no conversations about the stuff that really matters in life. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7 is very specific, and it says this to parents. You must teach God's commandment. That's not an option. You must teach God's commandments to your children and talk about them. Circle that, talk about them. That means conversations. You're to have conversations with your kids about the Bible. Talk about them, and then it gives us four places to do this. When you are at home, you might circle these four things. When you are at home, when you are out for a walk, third time is at bedtime, and then number four, the first thing in the morning, breakfast. He's saying, these are the teachable moments of your family. When you're at home, when you're out for a walk, in other words, you're relaxing, recreation time, you're fishing, you're playing, when at bedtime, and first thing in the morning, the four teachable moments. Now, friends, this is what God tells us to do, and this is why most families are not awesome. Most families aren't awesome. They're just average. And the reason they're average is because they don't do what God says. God says you need to talk about the things that are important at home, when you're relaxing, when you're on vacation, when you're having a walk. You need to do it at bedtime conversations. You need to do breakfast conversations. He said, if you're not doing this, you're never going to have an awesome family. You're going to have an average family. So by example and by conversations are the two ways we help each other grow. You can help your wife, your husband grow through example and through conversation. Let me tell you two ways that don't work, and it's the ones we all use. Write these down. Not through criticism. Not through criticizing. We think that being critical of someone will actually help them grow. It has never, ever, ever worked. Nagging doesn't work. Condemning doesn't work. Criticizing and complaining doesn't work. It is totally ineffective in helping a person change. Why? Because when you criticize, you're focusing on what you don't want rather than what you do want. For instance, if I'm a professional pitching coach for the Angels or for any team, and I go out on an important game, and I go out to the pitcher on the mound, and I say to the pitcher, whatever you do, don't throw a curveball. What have I just planted in his mind? A picture of a curveball. I didn't give him a picture of the right thing to do. I gave him a picture of the wrong thing to do, and I told him to focus on the wrong thing, and that's going to pretty much guarantee he's not going to do the right thing. When you criticize a child or your wife or your husband or anybody else, they go, yeah, you're right. Criticizing just labels people. It reinforces the negative. It does not work. So why are you so critical? Why are you so rough? Why are you so tough on your kids? Why want them to be tough? You're not making them tough. You're making them a failure. Through all your incessant criticizing, they never measure up. And at some point, when it's criticism, the kid just goes, okay, I give up. I can't please my dad. I can't please my mom. I just give up. And so let me just show you how lazy I can be. Let me show you how late I can be. Let me show you how irresponsible I can be. I'll show you. And so it doesn't work. Judging, criticizing, demeaning, it didn't work on you. By the way, it doesn't work in preaching either, which is why I don't use it on you. I could get up here every week and say, okay, let's talk about your sins this week. That'll be a 4-hour sermon. Okay. And I could get up here every week and tell you everything you're doing wrong. It doesn't work. Why? Number one, you know what you're doing wrong, and me telling you about it isn't going to change it. You have to promote the positive alternative. That's called repentance. Change your mind. Every one of my sermons are preaching for repentance. Repentance doesn't mean stop doing bad. It means start doing good. And that's what it's all about. So not through criticism. Look at what the Bible says, Ephesians 6:4, to parents. Don't keep on scolding and nagging your children. It doesn't work. Making them angry and resentful. Instead, bring them up with the loving training and teaching of the Lord. Another verse in the Bible, Colossians chapter 3, it says specifically to dad, it says, dad, don't be so hard on your kids, you drive them to resentment. It says, don't keep demeaning them. Don't keep criticizing them. Don't keep judging them. Don't keep telling them everything they're doing wrong that makes them angry and bitter. It says, that's dumb for a dad to do, not through criticizing. And then there's another one that we use, and this one doesn't work either. We don't help people grow this way, not through comparing. Anytime you compare anybody to anybody else, you've made a major mistake in life. Why? Because everybody's unique, everybody's different, there's nobody in the world like you, so you are incomparable. And the Bible tells us not to compare. You should never compare your wife to anybody else. You should never compare your husband to anybody else. You should never compare your lawn or your house, or your job to anybody else. You certainly should never compare your kids. Why can't you be more like your brother? Why can't you be more like your mom? Why can't you be more like your dad? I'll tell you why, because I'm not them, and neither are you. Comparing never, never works. And when you do it, it's unhelpful, it's unfair, and it's lethal to any relationship. You start comparing your wife to somebody else, you're headed for divorce court. It's lethal. Just stop. The Bible says over and over again, you should never compare. Let me show you one verse, Galatians 6:4. Each person should judge his own actions. Let me be the judge of my own actions and not compare himself with others. Then he could be proud for what he himself has done. He said, wait a minute, I thought pride was a sin. There's a good kind of pride and there's a bad kind of pride. The good kind of pride is, hey, I did the best I could with what I had. I'm proud of what I did. The bad kind of pride is, I'm better than so-and-so over there. That's comparing. I have a justifiable, legitimate pride in you. I love Saddleback Church, and I love you because I love what God is doing through you. All the 500 ministries in the community, all the things we're doing around the world. This church is unique in so many ways, in so many areas, in giving, in commitment, in love, in just the things, the impact that we make. And I am proud, justifiably proud of you, and there's nothing wrong with that. What's wrong is if I say, we're better than another church. Does that make sense? Well, the moment I compare, the pride becomes sin. So you take pride in yourself for, man, with the gifts God gave me, I did the best I could. I feel pretty good about that. You can take pride in a job well done. The moment you start comparing yourself, but I did better than that guy, now it's fallen into sin. So don't compare. Now let me give you a third symbol of an awesome family. And the third symbol of an awesome family is a raincoat. And it's a raincoat. What is a raincoat for? A raincoat is for protection. You remember these? You remember your cute little booties with them? Okay, don't forget your booties, okay? Okay. All right, now, let me show you a verse. Look up here on the screen. The Bible says in Matthew 5:45, Jesus said this, it rains on both those who do right and those who do wrong. What does that verse mean? It means good things and bad things come into everybody's life, whether you're doing it right or doing it wrong. So next time you think you got a problem, say, well, God must be punishing me. You're wrong. You're wrong. The Bible says bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to bad people. It rains on both the good and the bad because we're in a broken world. And when you go through life, you're gonna go through storms. Every member of your family is gonna go through storms. Emotional storms, financial storms, moral storms, physical storms like illnesses, relational storms like conflict. You can't go through life without storms because it rains on both the good and the bad. Those who are trying to do the right thing and those who couldn't care less. And when you go through a storm, you're gonna need some protection. You're gonna need some covering. When the rains and the thunder and the lightning and the snow and the hail come, you need a raincoat. Families are meant to be a raincoat in the storms of life, okay? Write this down. Awesome families protect each other. Awesome families protect each other. Because in a storm, you need support. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says this, two are better than one. And if one of them falls down, the other can help him up. But if someone is alone and falls, it's just too bad. It's just too bad because there's no one there to help him up. In the storms of life, you need other people to help you get through that tough time. Sometimes a child is going through a storm. Sometimes mom is going through a storm. Sometimes dad is going through a storm. And no matter which of our family members going through a storm, we have to help each other. We protect each other. Families stick together. Families are a raincoat. I asked the kids, why do you love your family so much? And I'll give you the number one answer in a minute, but watch some of the answers that they gave.
Because they're always so nice to me.
Because I love them.
Because they do my favorite things.
Because they're my family, that's why.
Because they're very nice.
Because they're really fun and I love to hang out with them.
I like that I have a mom and dad like them.
You like having a mom and dad?
Yeah, like them.
I'm so much.
Because they're wonderful.
Are they super wonderful?
Yes, because they're really funny and weird.
They're always so kind and generous, and they always think of me.
I love my family because they're always looking out for me.
They are so faithful to me and kind to me and always understand me.
They are super kind to me. They take care of me, and they just are wonderful.
I don't know.
You just love them? You think they're lovable?
Uh-huh.
Why do kids love their families? The number one answer, I mean, I heard it hundreds of times on Friday night, is it said, because they take care of me. I love my family because they take care of me. And kids instinctively know, I couldn't take care of myself. I have to have a family to take care of me. We talked about last week, the most vulnerable people in the world are orphans. Kids need to be cared for, particularly in the storms of life.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so thankful that you've chosen to spend some time with us. We pray that God uses this teaching from Pastor Rick to help you discover more deeply the hope that our relationship with Jesus Christ provides in every area of your life. Right now, a generous friend of the broadcast is offering a $10,000 matching grant for listeners giving a gift to Daily Hope for the very first time. Now, here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
Hi, everybody. Thanks so much for listening today. You know, my hope is that God uses this broadcast to help deepen your relationship with Jesus. Now, these Daily Hope messages are distributed on radio stations and digital platforms all across the globe, and listeners are writing and letting us know that their lives are being changed. They're telling us that they're walking with Jesus and that guilt and fear has been chased from their lives by God's love. You know, relationships are being restored and marriages are being healed, and many people are saying that they found their life purpose. I want to say thank you to you, because we're only able to carry the hope of Jesus to these people all around the world because of gifts from generous listeners like you. I just wanted to say I am so grateful for those of you who have consistently given throughout this past year. And I can't thank you enough for your prayers and your financial support. Now, I understand in times like these, many of you are unable to give financial support. Hear it from me. That's okay, because I never want anybody to give unless God leads them to give. That's between you and God, not between you and me, but between you and God. And your prayers are a continual and incredible contribution to this Daily Hope ministry. Now, if you do want to give a financial gift, I've got some really great news to share with you. There's a generous friend of Daily Hope broadcast who is offering to match the amount of your very first gift. In other words, if you give $20, then that person is combined it with a grant to make your gift $40. Your first gift will be double to go twice as far. Now, if you've never given a gift to Daily Hope, I want you to pray about partnering with us so that together we can continue to share the hope of Jesus throughout the whole world. I love you so much.
Just go to PastorRick.com. That's Pastor Rick with two R's in the middle, .com. Or text the word daily to 800-600-5004. That's the word daily to 800-600-5004. And thanks for partnering with Daily Hope to take the hope of Jesus to people everywhere. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.